Thank you, worship team. You know it, and it's never the same. It just always gets better and better. I was so glad when they said to me, let's go in the house of the Lord. I can so identify with David. Love being in the presence of the Lord. There's just something about us when we get together. It's just more of him somehow, more of his presence, just more of experience. And to not be here, to have something come up, to not be able to be here, I tell you, my next week is I have to struggle more. To have that sense of entering into his presence and having that feeling and preciousness. It's just that the world has some sort of a power to pull, and we have to fight. And that's something I want to talk about this morning, is how we're going to fight against that, how we're going to resent that. And so I want to follow up on what I was speaking last time out of Hebrews chapter 10, where we were talking about there is no other sacrifice. No other sacrifice other than the blood of Jesus Christ. And so today it's going to be the rest of the story. Because of the blood of Jesus, then the rest of the story. So now, where do we go from here and what do we do from there? So just as a little bit of a review, let's go back and just read a couple of these verses out of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Through his own blood, not the blood of bulls, goats, calves, whatever else. His own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Be at peace, saints. You cannot, if you're a true believer, you cannot lose your eternal salvation. It is guaranteed. It's a covenant sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no way. It's a rest in peace. Casey. Good to see your smiling face and that you were baptized today. Would you please stand? Folks, extend your arms toward Casey. Troy was kind of new of this and didn't pray for Casey. Lord, we love this brother and we just love what you're doing in his life, Lord Jesus. And your glory just beams off of his face. You can just see the joy of the Lord in him. And you're doing such a wonderful work in his life. We thank you for Casey. And Lord, we just thank you that you'll go before him all the days of his life and you'll open the doors before him and that you'll give him favor to come into your presence daily, daily, deeper and deeper into your presence and to know you, Lord. And you'd give him the heart of David that he would be able to say as David, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That's the heart of David upon your son, Lord. We know that. We just see that. We bless him in Jesus' name. Thank you for another brother. Thank you for his baptism. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Casey. We love you. We love you, love you, love you, love you. Hebrews 12:14. How much more will the blood of Jesus, who offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works and pleasing living life for self, from dead works and living for self to serve the living God. Just to recognize and to understand that precious blood delivers us from anything else, of trying to add anything else other than that I want to try to in some way express my gratefulness and my appreciation for his precious shed blood, his death on the cross for me in my place. Hebrews 10:29 might help us, that verse to go back to Hebrews and that. It's a very critical verse, and we discussed that. But what it says here, how much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and regarded the blood of Jesus as common? I was thought about that this morning, regarded the blood of Jesus as common. Do we ever do that? If we are not thinking about and realizing and appreciative for the blood of Jesus, I think some degree I might in that way, just because I'm not recognizing it, not daily thanking him for it and looking toward that blood and all that it has done for me, it's in some way not, maybe not treating it as common, but it's not treating it with the appreciation that it deserves. And I don't know how we can ever even reach a point where we appreciate and worship him and thank him for so great a salvation accomplished by his precious blood. Hebrews 10:23. So then, because of the blood of Jesus, let us hold fast the confession. The confession. Now, that's a confession is something we speak. So it's talking about something that we speak, something that we talk about, something that we say, something that we verbalize with our mouth. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope in his blood without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And my hope is built, as we sang this morning, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Hebrews, let me go on, Todd, if you'll hold it right here for a minute. Hebrews 10:29. How does our Father feel when, for all practical purposes, we never think about, talk about, consider the blood, what the blood has done for me? And out of 2 Corinthians 5:21, God the Father sent his Son and made his Son crucified on the cross and his blood shed for our sins to forgive us. God the Father sent his Son. How much does he love us? How valuable are you? How much does he love you that he would send his Son in your place, that his blood would be shed instead of mine, instead of yours? The love of our Father is just beyond our comprehension. The breadth, the length, the height, the depth of that love is beyond anything we can get our mind on. But the more that we are able to give thought to it and pull it in, the more it totally changes us. It declares how valuable you are to him, how much he loves you. And I just wonder how the Lord feels when we take it for granted and seldom give thanks to and recognize how powerful and what his blood has done for us. So that's kind of where I want to go this morning, to see if we can get a hold of that. So our verse for today is Revelation 12. 10 and 11. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down." Beloved, the victory has been won. Has been cast down. And they, that's you and me, overcame him by one, the blood of the Lamb, two, the word of our testimony, three, and we love not our life even unto death. Those three steps are what I want us to try to really get a hold of this morning, because those three steps are the steps to a victorious, powerful, overcoming life in Jesus Christ, to walk as he walked. So let's read it another way, the next one. Let's read it the way that if I were saying it. So, read this for yourself. Or read it with me. "Now, salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ has come to me. For my accuser, who accused me before God day and night, he has been cast down, and I overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of my testimony, and I do not love my life even unto death." If we can concentrate on those, make those, put those into our life and the way we live, oh my goodness, nothing can touch you, and certainly not our enemy. This is the basis, the foundation for our eternal life and also for our day-by-day salvation, confessing what the blood of Jesus has done for us. So, let's look at step number one. The blood of the Lamb, that was his part. The blood of the Lamb being shed was his part. And I like the, if you don't mind again, the way I like to say it, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust my strength or brains, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Amen? You got it? My hope is built on nothing less. Number two, the word of his testimony. Our testimony is declaring what the blood of Jesus has done for me. That's my part. The blood of the Lamb was his part. Now my part is to declare what that blood of Jesus has done for me. And so that requires me thinking about it, studying about it, digging into the word, finding out what all the blood of the Lord has done for me. And the third step is also my part, not to love my life, even unto death. And we'll talk a little bit more about that because I want to go through these three steps. So number one, the next slide, Todd. This is the Lord's free provision by his grace for us. the blood of Jesus Christ. By the blood of Jesus Christ, I have. Would you read these with me out loud? By the blood of Jesus Christ, I have forgiveness of sins. By the blood of Jesus, I have been justified. By the blood of Jesus, I have been made holy. By the blood of Jesus, I have been made righteous. By the blood of Jesus, I have eternal life. By the blood of Jesus, I have eternal redemption. By the blood, I have eternal inheritance. I have a clear conscience, confidence to enter the holy place. I have been sanctified. I have been healed. It is well with my soul, and all will go well with me. My youth will be renewed as an eagle. I love that one, don't you? That's a great one. Along with all of them are great ones, but I'd never even realize, but that one also is by the blood of the Lord. My youth will be renewed as the eagles. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and not faint. And there's representatives of that in this building today. By the blood of Jesus, his laws are in my heart and in my mind. And I am in covenant with Almighty God. And that's only a fraction of what I was able to pull up quickly of what the blood of Jesus has done for us. But that's good that we confess that. That's our declaration, speaking it forth, because the enemy does not want us to know, much less to take hold of, much less to declare what the blood has done for us, because it totally defeated him. Number two, the word of my testimony. Now this gets into our part, declaring what the blood of Jesus has done and will do for me. So let's look at that just a minute. Declaring, how important is what we speak? Job 22, you shall declare a thing and it shall be established for you. Really? Wow, that's powerful. That's powerful. To declare what the blood of the Lord says. You know, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. How powerful is that Word? That Word, God spoke and created the heavens and created the earth, created us, created everything by the Word. And now he's telling us to declare his Word. That's awesome. That's powerful that he's given to us and how it can change our life if we'll only put this Word into our heart, into our mind, and then speak it forth, because it totally creates. And what it creates is always good. Mark 11. Are there mountains in your life? Here's your verse. To declare, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever speaks to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says, it will be done, and he will have whatever he says. That's a powerful verse for the mountains in our life. Declare them, defeat them. Say to this mountain, be removed. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Why? Because he is faithful. He is faithful with what he has promised. A few more verses to talk about with how powerful the word is. I started the next one, Hebrews 4:12. Now this is awesome. The more I think about it, you know, in the past I've read over this verse and I like it and all, but as I've been meditating on it in the last few days, thinking about this message, Hebrews 4:12 is awesome. The Word of God is alive. It's living. When you speak something of the Word of God, when you declare it, you're speaking life. You're speaking something that is active. You're speaking something that... Active. That means it is, not only is it alive, it does something. When we declare the Word of God, it does something. It has power to do. And what it does is always good. And it's sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword. And that reminds me of Ephesians 6. Put on the full armor of God. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers of darkness. Stand firm, therefore, having on the full armor of God, your loins, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the gospel, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, which is... Whoa, you are good students. Do you hear that? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. The Word of God. That's our greatest weapon. That's all. Everything else is a defensive weapon. But the sword of God is an offensive weapon. Does declare it sharper than a two-edged sword. It's able to pierce as far as the division of my soul and my spirit, my joints, my marrow, judge my thoughts and intentions. I mean, it touches the whole body. It's powerful to be able to speak that word of the Lord. Awesome. There's so many verses that declare this. Ephesians 5:26, the word of God cleanses and washes by the water of the word. This will change your life. It'll clean it up, make you whole. And I think that cleansing and washing also has healing in it. You know, there's something about washing a wound. The word of God, that's part of its healing power. I like what Paul said in Philippians 3:13, forgetting what lies behind. Boy, that's something I work at all the time. I need to forget. My mind has a bunch of trash from my past life. From before, from the ways of the world, my mind is full of trash. I pray to the Lord often, if not daily, help me, Lord, forget those things and remember what you have taught me, what I've read. Let's get things in perspective, because I don't know if it's my mind. Anyway, they pop up all the time, and I hate those things, and I know I'm forgiven and all, but the cleansing of the word. I want to do what Paul, forget what lies behind and reach forward to what the Lord has ahead of me. And I press toward the goal of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I like 2 Corinthians 5:17. As we declare his word, he makes all things new. Isn't that good? When I was born again, you had the same experience. It was awesome. All of a sudden, your eyes were opened and everything was new, and it goes on day by day by day. But one of the greater verses is Romans 12:1-2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, to present your body a living sacrifice, holy sacrifice. This is pleasing to the Lord. And verse 2, do not be conformed to the world. Do not be conformed to the world. The world, education, the television, everything we hear, everything we see tries to conform us to the world. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Beloved, here is my major battlefield, and I think every one of our major battlefields right here. What we believe controls us. That's why we must, and most of the stuff from the past, if not 100% of it, from the ways of the world has been put up here, is not truth, total truth. This alone is total truth. And he wants to renew our mind, and our minds can be renewed. He tells us to do it, he wouldn't say it if it's not possible. Matter of fact, lately we're finding out that science is coming around and agreeing that the pathways in our mind can be made over again new. In other words, you know, if I can think of a good example, that like sometimes I see something or hear something and I always have these same thoughts run down this same path. Well, it's such and such and it caused this and so. But if we can begin to see things from God's perspective, then and declare that when I see it and stop my mind from going down that path and say, nuh-uh, God says, that person is one of my diamonds, one of my jewels, and I can change my thinking. But it's a struggle. It's something we have to fight and give attention to make it happen. And I feel like I very poorly communicated that. And Holy Spirit, I pray, will speak it to all of our hearts. Philippians 4:8 goes on. Paul says, think on these things. Think on these things, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good. Think on these things, not the things of the world. So this is the power of declaring the word of God. It is awesome, and it's an awesome power for us. It's the sword of the Spirit to speak this word. Let's go to the next slide then, Todd, number 11. I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony. I know that I am born of God. This is, you know, I noticed while we were singing those songs up here this morning, most all of that was a declaration. I'm never alone. I'm never alone. And all of the, that's awesome. We're declaring good things. We're declaring the Word of God. I know that I am born of God and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. I know that, but you know there's a depth to know it. I can know it with my mind or I can know it to where it becomes a part of me and I'm active in it and I believe it. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, my faith, believing what the Word of God says. I do not and will not love the world, neither the things in the world. Amen. That's a good one to declare and make it real in our life. I do not love the world. Maybe I should ask, maybe sometime we should ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, show me the things in the world that I love, if you dare. But I think it would be very good for all of us to do that. I am strong and the Word of God abides in me and I have overcome the evil one. A good one to declare. And those verses are there. And I like the testimony of David. Do you have any giants in your life? Excuse me. Any addictions, anything that seems to control you, power you, lust of the flesh, any of those things? Excuse me just a minute. I need this. I like the declaration that David said when he met the giant in his life. You come to me with the weapons of this world. That was a big mistake right there. And that's a big mistake for anybody coming against you. Coming against you with the weapons of this world? But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, Jesus Christ, that name that is above every name. At that name in which every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. In fact, that'd be good to, you know, whatever mountain we have in our life, to quote, say this, declare this, but when I get out of bed in the morning, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. I will be the king. I will rule. I will strike you down that all the earth, that I am particularly and all the earth may know that there is a God in the heavens and that all may know that the battle is the Lord's and he will give you into my hands. I will be dominant. I will control you. I will cast you out. Amen, amen, amen. Declaring his word, it is so powerful. Next one, Todd. I will not give the devil an opportunity to attack me because of lust, lying, anger, or sin. That's Ephesians 4. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan under my feet. Yes. And I will put on the full armor of God that I may stand firm against the schemes of the devil. So, beloved, with all of that, and let's make a declaration this morning. So let's all read this with me. I will declare who I am. Who am I? I will declare it, and it will be established. I am a child of God, and he is my Father, chosen before the foundation of the world. I will glorify my Father in heaven. I am born again. I am a temple of God, and the Holy Spirit lives in me. I am very valuable, very special, redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Let's stop right there. That reminds me of 1 Peter 1:18. I love this passage of Scripture. You are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood. Whoa. Precious blood. Precious blood. How valuable are you? How greatly does your Father love you? But with precious blood, the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. Next one. I am a royal priest for Jesus Christ. I am a new creation. I am righteous and holy. I am a saint. I am a joint heir with Christ. I'm a minister of Jesus Christ. Yes? Yes? I am an ambassador for Christ, and I have the authority to speak for him. I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. I am an alien and stranger to this world. My citizenship is in heaven. Hallelujah. So I am not the great I am, but by the grace of God and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, I am what I am. 1 Corinthians declares it, 15, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain, did not prove empty, did not prove weak. I am what I am. We need to declare it and become it and prove it. And so it won't be vain. What he's done for us will not be empty, not be void, but will be real in my life. Therefore, I labored even more than them all, yet not I, but the grace of God in me that strengthens me by the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57, thanks be unto God who gives us the victory. Beloved, it's there if we'll declare it, walk in it, and make it happen. So that brings me to, so why should I say I can't, when the Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Why should I worry? God will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory in Jesus Christ. Why should I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. Why should I not try? The people who know their God will display strength and take action. Do it. Try it. It's not your strength, it's his. Go for it, beloved. Whatever he puts in your heart, go for it. Why should I accept defeat? Thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why should I lack wisdom? Now, I had to change this one. I like James 1:5 better. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously and will definitely give you wisdom. James 1:5. Why should I be depressed? And when my soul is downcast within me, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him, and it's good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Why should I worry and be upset? Because I can cast all of my anxiety on him because he cares for me. Why should I feel judged? Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. I am never alone. We sang it, didn't we? Why should I feel alone? Jesus said, I am always with you, even to the end of the age. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Why should I feel worthless? Knowing that you were not, here it is again, 1 Peter 1:18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Why should I feel intimidated around others? Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So why should I feel like a failure? If God is for me, who can be against me? Why should I let the politics and problems of this world bother me? In me, Jesus said, you'll have peace. The world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Beloved, the victory is declared. Now, don't let it get you down. Don't let it worry you. He's working all things. He will work all things together for good. Thank you, Lord. So that's number one, the blood of the Lamb. That's number two, the overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, what we declare, what we say. So come to number three. I do not love my life even unto death. And that always reminds me of Galatians 2:20, which for me is a powerful verse. I would encourage you to memorize it. I have been, some translations say, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I was crucified with Christ. I no longer live. I died, and my life is hidden in Christ. Let me ask you this. Have you ever seen a dead man talk back to you? Have you ever, if you throw rocks at a dead man and call him names, will he respond? If somebody calls you names, throws rocks at you, will you respond? Jesus said, turn the other cheek. You get in an argument with somebody and you want to declare your position. You know you're right and you know they're wrong. Best thing to do most of the time is keep your mouth shut. A dead man does not respond. Thinking about that, you know, if you'll ask the Holy Spirit to bring some of these things to your mind, like every time I feel that of anger rising up in me, I've asked the Holy Spirit to remind me before I open my mouth, to remind me I was crucified with Christ. And it'll keep you out of a lot of trouble and a lot of fights, and the Lord will fight for you. Luke 9:23. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So, why should I? Because of the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Romans 6:4. For as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Now, the word baptized there is it means in all places. We think, for the most part, when we hear the word baptized, we think water. That's not the way it's used in the scriptures. In the Greek language, the word baptized simply meant to be placed into. Now, it can be, you can be placed into water, that type of baptism, but you also were baptized into Jesus Christ. That means placed into him. So, this passage goes on to say, and just as we were baptized into, we were placed into his death. When he died, I died. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, he raised us from the dead to walk in newness of life. I remember the very day when this verse that came to me, it dawned on me and it just quickened to me and became life-giving, that I can now, as a born-again believer, could have a new life. I used to have problems with depression that would come over me and moodiness. And I fought and struggled. I couldn't do anything. I didn't like it. People around me didn't like it. I couldn't do anything about it. But one day I was walking down the street and just happened to be trying to memorize Romans 6. And when I said this verse, that even so we also should walk in newness of life, the Holy Spirit said, "That's for you, Franklin." I lit up. I jumped for joy just to know that I could walk in newness of life. That was wonderful news to me. It's just like John 12:24. Jesus said, except the grain of wheat fall to the ground and dies, if it doesn't die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it will bear much fruit. Beloved, there is no resurrection unless there is first a death. Only when we consider ourselves dead in Christ at that moment will the resurrection power of Jesus Christ and the mind of Christ flow through you, and you'll respond the way Jesus responds. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? To really get a hold of that. So that part of these three steps to victory, love not our life even unto death, is as critical as all the rest for a victorious life, if we can just really grasp that. So let's go to the next one, Todd. The blood of the Lamb. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust my strength or brains, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. In Hebrews 12:14, how much more will the blood of Jesus, who offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So, beloved, it's my hope this morning, my mission this morning, the rest of the story, because of what we saw that the blood of Jesus did for us going through Hebrews chapter 10. Now we need to, knowing what the blood of Jesus has done for us, we overcome him, our enemy, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and we do not love, should not love our life even unto death. That's the result if we really appreciate, understand what the blood has done for us. So I would encourage us all to memorize Revelation 12:10-11. Amen? I would encourage you to memorize that because that verse is powerful, powerful. And as you meditate upon it and make it, put it into the way you live your life, it will totally change you and give you victory over every problem in your life the world, the flesh, and the devil. Lord, we thank you for so great a salvation. We worship you and say, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus, for the precious, royal, precious, precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would help us understand how precious that blood is. Help us understand how precious that blood is to you. And Lord, that you would help us understand how precious and how valuable and how wonderful it is to us, that we would declare it, that we would declare with our mouth what that precious blood has done for us, and that we would not try to live our own life, but we would let you, Jesus, live your life in us. That's our desire, Lord, to make all of your word, that powerful word of God, by declaring it, be true, to see mountains move, to see things changed in our life. We thank you, Lord, that day by day we can be conformed more into the image of our loving God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.